Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, a word that sees right through us, that both condemns our sin and frees us from that sin through the forgiveness and grace that you've provided for all people through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is at work through your word, calling us both to repentance and renewing our faith in Jesus. By your Spirit, we confess him our Lord, and we thank you today that we can again hear from your word and ask that the words we hear would be pleasing to you and would be saving to us and to our neighbors as we live by faith as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. The man was exhausted and overwhelmed by emotion. He had just led a small militia of 318 of his servants on a mission to rescue his nephew and their family, who had been taken prisoner by a marauding army that had sacked their town. That little crack squad defeated their enemies and brought his nephew and family back to their home. Back at his camp, the impact of all that had happened came down on him like a hammer. He had come to this land at the bidding of God, who had promised that he would possess this land and fill it with his family. Years had passed since then. The land in which they dwelt was claimed by other peoples already, Canaanites, Perizzites, and Amorites among them. He and the dear wife of his youth were growing old together, but they were still childless. He was grateful to God for the victory he had just won to rescue his nephew, but looking back on its violence, he realized how close to death he had just come. God interrupted Abram's anxious thoughts at that moment with a promise. "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be great." And on cue, Abram opened up and vented his worries and his doubts before God, that he had come to this land but still didn't have a child, and that if he died, it would be his chief servant who would take over for him and be his heir. God sent him out of his tent after he had spoken his peace. He sent him out of his tent with an instruction to look up into the night sky. "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them." Of course, Abram couldn't possibly count them all, but just looking up, his attention was rapt. God spoke again, and in these words, God renewed his promise to his struggling servant, "So shall your offspring be, as many as the stars in the sky, Abram." And those words lifted the weight that had been dragging Abram down. No, he did not have a child yet, but he would. He did not know how, and he did not know when, but he knew, because he believed God's promise, that a son would one day be his, and that from him, descendants numbering as many as the multitudes of the stars lighting up the sky would fill this land. God and Abram, later known as Abraham. And because God did keep his promise, God and Abraham, the father of the Israelites. Well, the rest of the Old Testament traces the history of God and his people. Those people he chose and created, the people of Israel. It's the history of God's faithfulness and Israel's rebellion. of wilderness wandering and land conquering, of idol worship and God's judgment, and of repentant prayer and divine restoration. Today's reading from Isaiah spoke to Israelites who, though they lived some 1,200 years after the time of their father Abraham, found themselves in a predicament similar to that of their descendant who had rescued Lot and his family. Their circumstances were very different, but their hearts were in the same state. Isaiah wrote for the people of Judah who found themselves judged by God for their stubborn devotion to the false gods of other nations and their cold disregard for their covenant with God. They were the survivors of Babylon's conquest, but they had been driven from their homeland and forced to live in foreign lands as exiled refugees. Their future looked bleak, bleaker than their once childless and doubtful ancestor. At least Abraham had had God on his side back then. He called him his friend. They had driven God to the end of his patience by their lies, their greed, their violence, their lust, and their idolatry. What hope could there be for them, since God had punished them so harshly and turned his back on them? God had turned them over to the mighty and merciless king of Babylon and his army, and by then they had been crushed, broken, and finished as a nation. Or not. Though in their misery God's exiled people could see no reason for hope, God gave Isaiah a message to renew their hope for the future. He reminded them who God is, of all that they had been told and heard of him in the past. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Their Babylonian conquerors were strong. Their rich and powerful rulers were intimidating. But before God, they were grasshoppers. They were like a flower that blooms today in beauty and then tomorrow begins to wither and in a week it's dead, dried up. The God of the exiles was responsible for the existence of everything. He created it all. To whom will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. As with Abraham in his moment of doubt, God chose the heavens again for the exiles to declare his power to those discouraged people. And then the Lord challenged his people for their hopeless outlook. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? And my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Did the destruction of Jerusalem, the desecration of the temple, and the dismantling of Israel as a nation mean the end of God's people? It only would have if they persisted in depending only on themselves. But that was not the message that they had heard preached by their prophets, even when they were warned of Israel's doom before it happened. self-reliance had earned them God's judgment in the first place. But the power of God's mercy far outlasts his anger. As they returned to the Lord with repentant hearts, he would forgive and renew them with his promises of grace and mercy. They would return to their land, and God would give them that great king he had promised. They needed only to wait in hope upon him, clinging to his words of grace, and they would see the resurrection of their nation. God's faithfulness, despite all the doubts and disobedience of sinners, continues on as the recurring refrain of Scripture, like a song throughout the Old Testament. And it comes to a close as with the Old Testament, but then the New Testament lends its voice to carry on that salvation song and bring it to its completion. And the message, the refrain is, God keeps his promises. Jesus was born of Mary in Bethlehem, declared the Christ by the angels, the Magi, and the disciples alike. He embodied God's reign in his life and ministry and of obedience to his Father and love for people. He opened God's kingdom to all by suffering the judgment of God on our unbelief and our disobedience. Jesus was raised from the dead to proclaim that God is forever for us, despite our failures to be for him. You may be suffering from depression, feeling cut off from everything that is good and kind in life. You may be run through with grief, unable to get past the pain of loss that haunts you. You may be bullied by fear, always on guard, expecting the other shoe to drop in your life. You may be bound by shame for some failure on your part. A dark secret follows you and haunts you wherever you go. You may be weary, discouraged, and hopeless because of your predicament. God probably seems far from you, and surely more pleased with someone more faithful, more brave, strong, or optimistic than you. But that's not true. We have God's word on it. Look up tonight if God gives us a clear sky. Look up tonight into that night sky and see all those stars. Remember what God said to Abram and what Isaiah preached to Abram's children in exile. And do not forget Jesus. He died to rescue you from death and to forgive you for all your sins. He lives to renew your strength, the strength of your faith, with his forgiving mercy. Remember what you hear him say to you as we gather again at the altar today. This is my body. This is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, for your salvation. And wait on the Lord because he's faithful and true. Wait on the Lord who calls himself your God and your Savior. Wait on the Lord, because he is leading you home. In Jesus' name, amen. And thanks, Lord, that the microphone stayed with me the whole way. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.